JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, September 19th, 2022, 50 days, 5-0 until the cataclysmic clusterfuck that is going to be known as the midterm elections. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. Everybody is pooped from last night's Pearl Jam concert, and how refreshing it is to get up this morning, turn on the TV, and see even more coverage of the Queen's funeral. For God's sakes, what has it been now, a week? She's a nice lady and everything, but for God's sakes, a week? Drop her in the hole already and let's move on. And again, King Charles. They keep doing these cutaway shots to King Charles, and when you see who he's standing next to, I don't know if you're like me, but you sit there and you go, I question this guy's judgmental ability. He had Princess Di. Princess Di, who a lot of people thought was one of the most beautiful people in the world. He got Princess Di, but his side action is Camilla Parker Bowles? I'm not sure I want that guy running my country. But you know what they say in England, big ears and bad teeth just really never go out of style. And the other story is the heat. I think it's hot today. Tomorrow, it could be pushing 100 degrees. Probably close to that on Wednesday. This is not right. This isn't even mid-September anymore. This is late September. But now climate change is a hoax, of course. All right, well, I've had a lot of time to think about it, and unfortunately, it hasn't really gotten me anywhere because it's like they say, I hardly know where to begin. I want to thank everybody for the notes of concern, the notes of support. I didn't realize I was doing it, but I apparently inadvertently gave people the indication that there was something wrong with my health. I apologize if that was the inference, although as you will hear, as I start to sort this out for you, that wasn't entirely incorrect. So, where do we start? Well, I'm just going to pick something out and just start going. Because like I said, I've had a lot of time to think about it. I've been off for 5 weeks, and it's been a long time since I've been off for 5 weeks. And by the way, if my voice sounds just a little odd, it's because I got another steroid shot last week. And I don't know what it is about steroids, but I get steroid shots, you know, cortisone and stuff like that for my hip and my back and all the other parts of me that aren't working anymore. And for some reason, it takes a toll on my voice. And I'm told that that's not uncommon. So back to the business at hand. Like I said, there's no graceful way to begin this. So I'm just going to dive in here. Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm losing my freaking mind? Remember George Harrison saying, you know, sometimes I wake up and I look around and I think to myself, did I end up on the wrong planet? Call it an avalanche of introspection, I guess. And nothing like this had really ever happened to me before, where you start sitting there thinking to yourself, what am I doing? There have been a series of events, really over about the last 13 years, that I think just accumulated to the point where, you know, sometimes when you don't deal with stress or anguish or pain or disappointment or any of those emotions, sometimes when you just do what I've always done in the face of adversity, and that is to just get up in the morning and put one foot in front of the other and just keep going. I've been complimented by people who along the way I developed respect and admiration for, and they're like, you know, these people do this stuff to you. And one moment you're just sort of flying high, and the next minute somebody comes in from 2,000 miles away and draws a line through your name, and you're out of a job. And it bothers me, obviously, when it happens to me. But in a lot of ways, it almost even bothers me more when it happens to friends of mine who are in the business. But that's only part of it. It's only part of it. But the point I'm trying to make is that sometimes when you just keep going and you don't allow yourself the luxury of thinking about it and sort of dealing with the stress, you sort of compartmentalize it and you just move it off to the side. You keep on going. I think maybe what happened is over the course of the last dozen years or so, a bunch of stuff that I never really dealt with psychologically, emotionally, all just started to pile up. And it gets you thinking to yourself, am I cracking up? Now, you got to be really careful when you use the word depression. I have friends who are in a depressive state. They're being treated for it with medication. Works very, very well for them. It controls their moods and their anxieties and things like that. And so I wouldn't just toss that word around, because in fact, it may not in fact be depression. It just might be me recognizing that a lot of stuff really does suck. You know, there's a big difference between getting depressed because you've got a medical condition, you know, where the chemicals in your brain are not functioning the way they're supposed to. And so you end up with an actual clinical case of depression. There's a big difference between that and taking a good, hard look around and realizing, wow, things really are awful. You see what I'm saying there? But when you're sitting there and TV shows that you used to like, movies that you like, music that you like, food that you like, things that you like to drink, none of that stuff seems to be supplying satisfaction or enjoyment. You know, the music just doesn't sound as good. The TV shows aren't as funny. The movies aren't as entertaining. The food just all sort of seems boring and flat. And then I think this also goes with the weight issue, because I think right before we broke 5 weeks ago, I was telling you that I did great during the pandemic in terms of weight gain. I know a lot of people really put on a ton of weight, and I did great. I didn't gain any weight at all for the 2 years. And then the pandemic started coming to an end, and I put on 10 pounds. And so I think some of this is, again, having compartmentalized a lot of the issues and the problems that we all were dealing with for 2 years. But then it's like those big, giant lakes and reservoirs that we've been reading about, primarily in the West and the Southwest, where the water runs out and the entire bed of that lake dries up and they start finding bodies. That's sort of a crude analogy, but it's sort of really accurate, to be honest. And what happened is the water just sort of ran out of the lake bed, and a bunch of things that I think I had just dropped into the lake with a weight on it, and just figured out of sight, out of mind. But then something unexpected happens, and a lot of those things begin to surface. Now you got to deal with them. But then, you know, the problem is the whole thing starts to snowball when that happens, because now a bunch of accumulated stuff from years ago, you know, the move out of St. Louis, which wasn't even really supposed to be a move. We were supposed to come down here, spend the winters pretty much in Florida and be in St. Louis the rest of the time. The pandemic screwed all of that up. And there's a lot of things I miss about St. Louis, but I miss my friends. I miss the camaraderie. I never thought I would ever hear myself say this, but I miss things like staff meetings. You'd go in there and you'd sit, and there'd be a box of donuts, and everybody'd be throwing, you know, wads of paper at one another. The boss had tried to be talking. Everybody's getting off lines. It's something I remember just hating, having to go to staff meetings. Well, now you don't have staff meetings for 10 or 15 years, and you're like, oh, I miss all that. That was fun. There's been family stuff, a lot of family stuff that I won't bore you with, because, you know, every family sometimes are very overrated, you know. It's great at Thanksgiving and Christmas to have a bunch of people come over to the house and everybody's in a great mood. But boy, I'll tell you, the remaining 363 days of the year, sometimes families are a lot more trouble than well, at least than some people think they're worth. And then, and this is, you know, I'll get to something else in a minute, but I've never really thought about my mortality before. And then you start piling on the years and not really paying attention to the fact that you are aging And all of a sudden you look around. I remember saying this a long time ago. One day I looked around and all of a sudden I was just older than everybody. And that, you know, obviously gets you thinking about, well, I'm not going to be here forever. I wonder what I should be doing, A, to try to extract every bit of life that you can get out of the current situation we're in, because you never know how much longer you're going to be here. And the older you get, the more of an issue that becomes. And then a little bit of B, and the B part of it is the easy part for me, because I'm an agnostic and I think that we're really just sophisticated bugs crawling around on this big blue ball called Earth. And I think it's just sort of the peak of arrogance by the human race when people go running around trying to sell you on the idea that there is life after death. I do not believe there is. So when it's over, it's over. And as bad as it's been, losing Tom Petty, losing David Bowie, losing John Prine, losing so many people, as bad as that is, it's going to get worse. The next 10 years, I've been talking about this for a while, the next 10 years are going to be awful. We're going to lose everybody. You know that? We're going to lose everybody. Paul McCartney, Mick Jagger, Ringo. Yes, Keith Richards will eventually die. And then guess what? It's going to be our turn. So at this point, I'm like 10 minutes into the podcast, and some of you are probably going, oh, Jesus Christ, let me get out of here, because I don't know what he's going to say next, but you're depressing the living shit out of me. And yeah, that's the problem that I've been dealing with. That's it. An avalanche of introspection and a realization that the future, while it will hold lots of happiness and joy and humor and all that sort of stuff, it is, though, coming to an end. We're at the tail end of this thing. And I've never had all of these thoughts accumulate to the point where it blocked my forward path. And so I took some time off because, as awful as it is for you to have to sit here and listen to me talk like this, I didn't want to do it to you, at least until I had turned the corner a little bit. You know, that's not why you come to the podcast every day, to hear me talk about how bummed I am. And like I was saying, you know, you treasure these relationships that you make in whatever business you're in. If you're in sales, if you're in public service, whatever it is. And it's the same thing in broadcasting. You know, you meet people along the way. Some of them you don't like. A lot of them you really like. And you see them every day. In some cases, you spend more time with them in the average day than you spend with your own family. And you develop these relationships. Now, everybody's working from home. People don't see one another. One of the most fun things about doing a morning radio show is pushing down one of those little buttons on the phone bank and having people call in. Well, the people who are running broadcasting right now, even in talk radio, even on the AM dial where you're supposed to call in and talk to the people who are hosting the show about the things that are going on, the people who run broadcasting now have convinced everyone in the business that phone calls are irrelevant for the most part. So if you were on, let's say, KMOX, you'd say, here's our topic, here's what I think, break for commercials, come back, and we'll take your calls. They don't even do that anymore. And on the FM band, they've got everybody convinced that taking phone calls is a waste of time, or what they call in the business a tune-out, meaning that if somebody is driving along and they punch up your radio station and you're in the middle of a phone call, that drives people away. They have convinced people of that. That's terrible. That was always our connection. Our connection to one another was that telephone. Now everybody does things by text on top of it. And there's nothing exciting to me about hearing somebody on the radio reading a text. The whole point was to hear the phone call, to hear the person. Some of the funniest things that ever happened, some of the funniest things ever said on our radio shows and podcasts and things like that were made not by me, but by you guys. You guys crack me up. You know, you'd do something like mention the Three Stooges, and for the next half hour, people would be calling up with Stooge stuff. We did Confucius jokes. We didn't have to do anything except push the button down on the phone. You guys were supplying all of the jokes. Most of that is gone now. I don't like it. And of course, you knew this was coming, the issue of politics and where all of this seems to be going. And like I said, in another 50 days, you got the midterms. You know what's going to happen. People are already jerry-rigging this election situation so that on election night, when the results start coming in, there's going to be all sorts of accusations. And here we go again. And that's even more disappointment there, too, because there are people that I know, people I've had to the house, people I've dined with, people that I've known for decades, broadcasters who have radio shows every single day in St. Louis who have gone off the deep end. QAnon stuff, racism, war, bigotry, more guns. You want a gun? Have a gun. If I lived out in the country, I'd have a gun. If I lived in the inner city where the cops don't even show up anymore when you call 911, I'd have a gun. What I don't understand is this business of assault weapons and so many guns to the point where it's not even a collection anymore. It's an arsenal. Now, I started in fairly early on social media, and as we all recall, you know, at the very beginning of this, it was like, okay, let's go back and see if your high school girlfriend is fat. Let's look for cats that look like Hitler. Funny videos. Look what my kid did. I fell asleep at the beach. Look at me. I look like a lobster. That's what social media was. Well, at last count, I had something in the vicinity of 1,100 people that I've had to block from my Facebook account alone. 1,100. There are people who send me messages every day implying violence in my direction, making accusations against my character that would curl your hair, saying insulting, degrading, awful things. These are people, for the most part, that I don't even know. This is why I'm not on Twitter. At least with Facebook, there's a name. There's a human being. At least you can identify who the person is who's saying this. Twitter, everything's anonymous. Over my dead body, forget it. Never going to happen. So what's going to have to happen here in terms of social media is a change in policy. And that is, oh, and you're going to say, wait a minute, just 1 minute ago, he's talking about the fact that he misses the phone calls, and that was the connection. And now he's going to say that on social media, he's going to probably stop responding to people. Yeah, I know it sounds like double talk, but that's the way it's got to be. You know, you can't just sit here and let people pummel you. You can't turn yourself into a punching bag. And there are people. And by the way, this is the fascinating part. In some cases, they're fans. And they're fans, but yet when they speak to you in such a clumsy, semi-psychotic, pathological way, you're sitting there going, what the fuck is this person's problem? So if the people who, quote unquote, like you and like your work are doing that, you can imagine what it's like when the people who hate you check in. So effective immediately, I just can't afford to engage much anymore. I just can't do that to myself anymore. I'll tell you a little story. Back in the late 70s and early 80s when rock stations started building high-profile morning shows, I had already worked at a bunch of them before I ever got to St. Louis in 1984. And this was something I had always done before. And so when I got to St. Louis, I did it here too. And that is, I had people of color and women on the show. When I say on, I don't mean as guests. I mean part of the show. Now, up until that point, there were no people of color on FM rock stations. It just didn't exist. And usually, women, maybe they got to do the traffic reports, or sometimes they got to read the news. They didn't do any of the fun stuff. And they were not part of the creative process. And so for the last, 38 years since I hit St. Louis, almost every show that I have ever put on the radio had either a person of color or a woman in a powerful position. Sometimes both. You know, people like me who have been on rock stations for, 40 years, when they do the research, they find out that your appeal is about 80% male, maybe 20% women. Mine is 50-50. And it's always been 50-50. And I love being around women. I love having women be part of the show, you know, call in, send texts, whatever. But boy, do I enjoy having women around on a daily basis, doing the show and then back in the office. Those moves were deliberate on my part, okay? I wanted representation of minorities. I wanted it for you guys, and I had selfish reasons. I wanted it for me, too, because I liked the input. I liked the perspective. And yet, as late as last week, I had somebody yakking with me on Facebook who was accusing me of being anti-women and crap like that. People got short memories, and they also don't pay attention. But you know what? Get in the car today and watch the way people drive, and then you can see how we treat one another. Just watch the way people drive. That'll tell you everything you need to know about American society. But I digress. So we're going to change a couple of things about the way that we engage on social media. I'm sorry. That's just the way it's got to be. The internet can be a wonderful thing. The internet can also be a very, very destructive tool. Now, I want to tell you another quick story because a lot of people have been asking about the new radio station, and I will get to that here in just a couple of seconds. First of all, it requires a little backstory. Roughly 2 years ago, I began meeting in St. Louis, sort of on the sly, with a person who runs one of the biggest radio stations in St. Louis. And we had like a, I thought was just going to be like 45 minutes just having drinks. Turned out I could tell this person had something up their sleeve. That meeting lasted over 2 hours. Now, fast forward to last Christmas, and we have another hour and a half meeting, which was followed 2 days later by a 3-hour meeting. It was at the Shack on Lindbergh, as a matter of fact. 3 hours. 3 hours of meeting with this person. Again, one of the biggest radio stations in St. Louis. At the end of all of this conversation, this person does everything but put a contract in front of me and say, okay, sign here, you start on Monday. I mean, it was about the closest thing to a done deal that you could ever imagine. I came back home, I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going back to work. This is going to have a dramatic impact on our lives. Going to have to spend a lot more time in St. Louis, which was the plan all along. It was never supposed to be spend the overwhelming majority of time in Florida. It was supposed to be the other way around. So now that's going to work out. You know, we still have property in St. Louis, and this is all going to work out great. But it appears that I'm going back to work at this big radio station. So let's start thinking about that. Okay. Okay. A couple of weeks go by. Don't hear anything. Couple of more weeks go by, don't hear anything. I decide to pick up the phone and call this person and say, just give me the update. What's happening? And this person does not return one phone call. This person does not return one text, one message, one of anything, has not said anything to anybody about this. And basically, I was at that point ghosted. This is a guy that I had just met with for something like almost 9 hours of accumulated time over the course of a couple of months. He does, or she does, trying to cover my tracks here, everything but like I said, put a contract in front of me. What's up with that? I would tell you the radio station, but it's really not fair because there were three people who were going to lose their jobs. And I don't want them to hear this story now and go, Jesus, was that me? You know, nobody wants that, and that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be very nice of me to do. So I'm not going to elaborate on that anymore. But isn't that sort of goofy, you think? Don't you think that's a little bit goofy? And it just seems like that's all that's left in this business anymore is crooked people and charlatans and liars and people who just tell you anything and then like the last place, you know, steal your money. So anyhow, a couple of months after that, I start getting phone calls about this quote unquote new radio station, and I've told you all about it. And unfortunately, it's been a big source of frustration because whenever you're dealing with the federal government, you know, and the FCC and all that sort of stuff, Jesus, does it take a long time? We thought we were going on the air in March, and here it is, September 19th, and we're still waiting. And I would say significant, I wouldn't say huge, but certainly an element in the equation of this whole thing is interference from the other broadcast companies and the other radio stations in town, which I found fascinating because it's like, well, which one is it, guys? I've been available for 13 years since you guys pulled the plug on our K-Hits morning show with me and the U-Man and Lori and Carl and before that, Jen. And so I've been available for 13 years and nobody has seemed very interested. But now all of a sudden they hear that I might be coming back on this new radio station. And all of a sudden now they've come up with all these different ways to try to block our path of putting this radio station on the air. That's one of those dirty little secrets that nobody ever tells you about in broadcasting. And that is when you try to do something, you can get a lot of interference and a lot of blowback from the other companies, and they can make it difficult for you to do things that you want to do. But isn't that fascinating? I'm apparently not worth shit for a dozen years, but as soon as they hear I might be coming back, suddenly, well, we got to stop him. Well, which one is it, guys? You're not making any sense. It's like when you were in high school, you break up with somebody, but then when you find out that somebody else wants them, you want that person back. Oh, and by the way, a lot of people have asked me about this, and I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth here. People have been wondering why I haven't been involved in the celebratory activities and reunions and stuff like that of my old radio station back in the 1980s. And that, of course, would be Casey. You know, they did that movie. They did some sort of telethon or something on Channel 9. They had a bunch of activities. They had a group picture. They had big parties. And then they got these things that they do where a bunch of them get together and get on stage and they sell tickets and they sit up on stage and tell old radio stories and try to make you laugh. And not one of those have I been invited to, and people want to know why. Well, it can be pretty easily explained by the fact that the person that they hired to organize all this stuff has a small, I guess you would say, something like an advertising agency or a PR company or just some sort of little thing, and they could get him cheap because he used to work there. So he got out of radio and opened up this little company, and they're like, okay, well, you know all of this stuff because you used to work here, so we're going to put you in charge of staging all of these events. Well, that guy and I had a major falling out about 30 years ago. And so this is payback for that falling out from 3 decades ago. And the guy is horrible. And the people who hired him should know that he's horrible. And I'll tell you something, though, if it were the other way around and I was included, but somebody was selectively being excluded, I would just say, well, then I won't participate either. Put pressure on these people not to make creepy decisions. But the guys didn't do that. And so they continue to have these events, I guess you would say. And it's almost like the people at Casey are trying to eradicate the memory of my ever having worked there. And so that's important to them. I guess they get to do it, huh? And that's, you know, part of the other dirty little secret. You know, you have all these little factions. They want you to believe that it's some sort of brotherhood, some sort of camaraderie. There's all these little factions inside the group that collectively at one time or another worked at that radio station. The ones going all the way back to the 70s when the thing started out, all the way up to modern day. There's all these people that don't talk to one another. These five guys don't talk to the other ones. These eight guys over here, they don't talk to the other five. You know, it's that kind of crap. And then there's the story of Rich Dalton. And this is going to upset a lot of people. And that's just going to have to be too goddamn bad. But one of the things we're trying to do with the new radios, and the new radio station's going to happen, it's just taking a lot longer than anybody thought. And I just got tired of talking about it. And I finally just told them, I said, look, when the thing is up and running and you got everything in place, let me know. And then we'll pick up where we left off because we've been working on this for, I've been personally involved with it for like 5 or 6 months now. And there's all these people who have been working on this, trying to get this radio station launched for you guys. And sometimes it's out of your control. And again, like I said, when you're dealing with the federal government, it's really out of your control. So Katie and Michelle and Nick Baycott and yours truly all going to be involved in the new radio station. And the other name was Rich Dalton. Now, let me tell you about Rich. He was doing the all-night show when I got to St. Louis in 1984. And I think his eyebrows raised a little bit when I came in doing the act that I do because, you know, Rich has always been very, very old school, whispering to the microphone, FM, you know, sort of progressive rock type thing. And that has really, really bolstered his reputation. The listeners of FM rock stations in St. Louis have always loved Radio Rich. But notice that I made that distinction, the listeners. And I'm not going to bore you with the whole story. I'm just going to tell you the important points here that will illustrate why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because as I said, this won't make a lot of people happy. I don't think I ever had a cross word with Rich Dalton in my life. You know, when we were at K-Hits for 8 years, he came on after us. So I saw him every single day when we did the exchange, you know, and I was raised in this business old school so that when the guy who was following you on the air should walk into that radio station, walk into that radio studio and see a pristine setting. No coffee cups and pizza boxes and papers laying around and stuff like that. You get all that stuff out so that that person who follows you on the air walks in and it should look like the maids had just left. And that's what we always did. It was just a respect issue and just professionalism. So like I said, no problems ever that I can ever recall. Well, now the gig at K-Hits goes away when they decided to fuck up that radio station and let us go. And they took Rich and they put him on KSHE for a while. And that wasn't working out. I guess it wasn't enough stuff. So they got this HD channel and they said, okay, go ahead and run that. So he ran that for a while. And was popping up all over the place doing this mock humble thing. So, yeah, well, I'm the program director. Thanks, bashful. Well, to make a very long story short, he got his ass fired from that job, too, because he wouldn't do what he was told to do. Now, some of you may remember back in the late 90s, there was a radio station that I was working at called Rock 93.7. Pretty good radio station, by the way. And Rich comes over there looking for a job, and they're like, well, Rich, we don't have anything, but we do have a weekend show. If you want to work like Saturday, Sunday morning, we can put you on there. So Rich goes on the air and says, if you want to hear more of me, call the program director's office Monday morning and tell him. Program director walked in on Monday morning and fired him. You don't do stuff like that. So I jump back in the story. Let's go back to the more current stuff. So now, like I said, they put him in charge of KSHE's HD channel, and then he got fired from that, too. So now, you know, he takes some job at Lake of the Ozarks or something. But before he does that, he does a GoFundMe. GoFundMe for Rich Dalton. And he's sitting in front of the camera. He goes, look, radio stinks in St. Louis, so I'm going to start up a radio show online, and I'll play all the great songs that I always play in a way that only I can do. So all you have to do now is donate money, and I can start this up. I need $50,000. And I think people are like, what? Yeah, give me 50 grand, and I'll give you a website, and then you can listen to what I play. And I can tell you that there was tremendous talk within the business of radio in St. Louis when that happened a couple of years ago with people saying, has he lost his fucking mind? Who's going to give him $50,000? And everybody was just laughing behind his back. And the effort, shall we say, the effort failed. And like I said, he ended up taking some job at Lake of the Ozarks. So now we come along with plans for this new radio station. And we're like, okay, this is great. Got Nick Baycott, was on KSHE for 10 years. Katie Cruz was on KSHE for a long time. Michelle Matthews, K-Hits, KSHE. So got me, got a couple of other people who are going to be involved. This is great. Let's go grab Radio Rich, too. And to make a very, very long story short, he basically tried to take it over. They were like, Rich, you're not running the radio station. We just want you to work at it. No, the only way it could be done is if I do it. Like, well, but that's not going to happen. See, we have a management team in place. We have people, we have owners and stuff like that. We got a, there's always somebody with the money sort of way behind the scenes that usually doesn't become too involved, but we have a management team working, you know, rolling up our sleeves, and I'm one of them, and I've got other friends. We've all been working on this for months, but Rich is like, no, it can only be done. I'm doing it, and here's how it'll be done. We're like, no, that's not going to happen. Then, and again, keep in mind, I've never had a cross word with him in my life. He starts trashing me. I'm trying to give him a fucking job, and he's trashing me. And then he gets into it with the station manager, and they tell him, Rich, if you want to do a show on the radio station, fine. But you're not running the radio station. We are. You're all idiots. And then he goes over our heads to the money guy, and he tries to convince the financier of this whole thing to fire all of us and put him in charge. And so the long and the short of it is that Rich Dalton will not be a part of the new radio station when it launches, and we hope that that will be very, very soon. And whatever his fucking problem is, I hope he gets help for it. Rich has done a wonderful job of cultivating this image of this grandfatherly, or sort of like, you know, this uncle who just is this aging hippie and knows all this stuff about music. And all that stuff is true, by the way. But the degree of hostility, passive aggressiveness, image versus reality, folks. Image versus reality. And just to turn it inward on myself a little bit, I've been trying to explain this for four decades. I don't know about anybody else, but when I get in front of a microphone, my alter ego takes over. All right? It's not me. It's show business. It's maybe the bottom rung on the ladder of show business, but it's show business nonetheless. And it's performance. This is a performance art. How many times have you heard me talk about this? When Vincent Price used to make movies back in the 40s and 50s, and they'd break for the evening and say, okay, see you tomorrow morning at 6. He would go home. He didn't have bats flying around his house. It's show business. It's my job. People could understand how Dan Dierdorf could be one of the most dangerous people on the planet for about 4 hours every Sunday afternoon. Back in the 70s, he'd rip your fucking head off on a football field. But when he would shower and shave and put his street clothes on and leave the ballpark, he went back to being a normal person. Everybody could understand that. But for some reason, they can't get their heads around the idea that when you talk into a microphone that you are performing. Now, depending on the act, depending on the individual, sometimes that performance is nothing at all like that person really is. Sometimes there are elements. But frankly, I mean, you'll find that more often than not, it is the expression of an alter ego. Not that hard to understand. Look, I just think that there's a point. Let me see if this analogy makes any sense, okay? So I drank beer. I started drinking beer late in life. I didn't really start drinking beer until I was a junior in college. And then I drank a lot of beer. You know, not in Brett Kavanaugh territory, but I drank a lot of beer for a lot of years. And again, to make a very long story short, about, I don't know, 8 years ago, something happened. And all of a sudden, I would drink beer and not feel well afterwards. I gave it some time. And it's like, well, I don't know what happened there. And then went back, tried it again. No, I haven't had a beer in like 8 years. Something happened where my body just said, that's it. No more beer for you. Maybe the human body just has a way of saying, you know, you're not going anywhere with this, so we're just putting the brakes on it. Well, I think that maybe what has happened is that my body, my being, whatever it is we call ourselves, just finally reached its total tolerance for bullshit. Like, I just can't take it anymore. Like, I've had all the bullshit that one lifetime can handle. So now when I'm confronted with bullshit, I just go, fuck it, next. And I think that's where I am. And I don't care if it hurts me financially, if it hurts my career, if it hurts my image, or it hurts me in any way. It's like I just don't care anymore about trying to contend with people's startling ability to generate bullshit and throw it in your direction. So I'm not going to do it anymore. And again, this goes back to some of the social media stuff too. But all of my business dealings, all of my friendships, everything like that, it's just the bullshit meter has burned out. So it's sort of like my attitude is take it somewhere else. I am not interested in dealing with it. You know, I do something you don't like, tough. I tried to do a good job. I said it or I did it because I thought it was good at the time. And if it doesn't work out that way, that's too bad. I'm going to make a mistake every once in a while. Everybody makes a mistake once in a while. Things occasionally are not going to turn out the way that I had intended, and that's just part of the deal. That's just what happens. You want to call me a name? I probably won't even see it anymore. And as I pointed out earlier in the podcast today with the people's short memories and what I have done historically, I'm very, very comfortable with understanding that everybody on occasion makes a mistake. Well, when you're on the radio or on a podcast or some sort of electronic media, whatever the case may be, it's just amplified more because of the kind of job it is. If you make a mistake as an accountant, you might get in trouble and you might even lose your job. But it's not going to be broadcast on the news that you messed up as an accountant and you ended up losing your job. And then you have these schmucks who don't know how to tell a story anyhow. I get a fellow broadcaster, and I use the term loosely, waving his arms in my face after I've had a concussion. I get his arms out of my face. We collide. He decides to try to go get publicity for it and files a court case against me. I'm completely and totally exonerated, but there's people who still act like I did something wrong. And the television stations in St. Louis ran the story for like 3 straight days, but then when I was completely exonerated, they didn't even cover it. Nothing. Like I said, I've had all the bullshit I can tolerate for one career in one lifetime. So I'm not doing it anymore. I don't know if any of this made any sense to you guys. I'm just a little out of practice too. I haven't talked into a microphone in 5 weeks. Feels a little funny right now. And I only have one request, just one. Please, please don't do this. Don't send me 3,000 messages on social media about how wonderful I am. And don't worry about it, JC, you're fine. And there's that's not what I want. That's not what this is about. Please don't do that. I understand that you guys support me and that you like what I do. And you have sent many, many messages over the course of the last 5 weeks. Trust me, that's all I need. I don't need any more quote-unquote encouragement. The fact that you're here every day and the fact that when I do go back on the radio in St. Louis with the new radio station, whenever that finally turns out to be, which we hope is soon, that you'll patronize that, that's all I need. Trust me. But don't you don't have to send me a million messages of encouragement now. I understand that you support me, and it is greatly, greatly appreciated. I don't know if any of this made any sense or if it just came off as a rambling mess. I am prepared to acknowledge that either case could be true. I don't have any idea, and I'm totally out of practice. Like I said, I haven't spoken into a microphone in 5 weeks, and I can't remember the last time that that's happened. So putting one foot in front of the other, we're going to be cutting down on our engagement on social media. I'll let you know when the new radio station is up and running, and I'm not going to talk about it until then because it's been very frustrating here for the last 5 or 6 months. And I think I'm back to the point where I can put one foot in front of the other every day and just move forward again because for the last month or so, I haven't felt that way. So thanks for just hanging in with me. Some of these feelings I've had over the last 5 weeks, I've never experienced before, but I just think it was the avalanche of all of these things happening and lots of thoughts occurring to me and just lots of shit coming down all at the same time that I guess I wasn't prepared for. And unless you wanted the last 5 weeks of podcasts to sound like this has sounded this morning, trust me, you were spared being drawn into my abyss. Hopefully, if everything goes right over the course of the next week or two, the podcast will start to sound the way it did before I broke. Just trying to get along at this point, folks. Just trying to get along. Again, watch out for this heat. this ain't right, but we're going to have to deal with it here for a couple of days, probably 3 days. Again, thanks. I published this thing way late today, but I was completely out of practice. I just didn't have it together this morning. Hopefully we'll be more on time starting tomorrow. In the meantime, beating this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.